Good afternoon. I am here for Belinda Reininger. She unfortunately could not make it, so she gave me a call a couple days ago and told me to come and do it, and I'm happy to be here and talk about our work of policy and environmental changes to support active living and healthy eating among low-income Mexican-American communities. And I have no relationships to disclose. And what I'm going to talk to you today about is our ETCO model, the University of Texas Community Outreach Program, Changing Lives and Changing Communities. The ETCO model is a multi-system, transdisciplinary approach to community-based diabetes prevention and control. It supports community-based screening, monitoring, and education, and provides environmental and policy changes to support active lifestyles, facilitates access to primary care clinicians, and empowers the community to take control of health and lifestyle services and resources needed to achieve and maintain a flourishing life. And the cornerstone of our program is our use of community health workers, what we call our promotores de salud. Our community health workers are all certified through the Texas Department of State Health Services. They've either taken a 160-hour certification course, or they have demonstrated 1,000 contact hours in the community. If I was going to kind of sum up the ETCO model in one word, I think that word might be choice or maybe opportunity. For the most part, people know that what they eat affects their health and that their, activities levels also impact their health. The problem really comes is giving people choice, giving people the power to choose healthy eating and active lifestyles. And that's really what we are trying to do here with our ETCO model. ETCO is actually in 4 counties in South Texas. We're in Webb County, which is the city of Laredo. We're in Cameron County, which is Brownsville, Nueces County, which is Corpus Christi, and Galveston County, which is Galveston. So this is, we're talking about the southern Gulf Coast and border counties. This is just a look at what our logic model is. And again, this idea, we want people to increase the number of minutes of exercise. We want them to increase their fruit and vegetable intake. We want them to have better knowledge and learn more about portion size and consumption. And we wanted to get past the step of telling them that you need to eat healthy and exercise, and we wanted to provide them the opportunity, the ability to make those choices to do those things. So everything that we do within our ETCO program is all free of charge and open to everybody in our community. One component of our program are health education classes, particularly diabetes self-management classes for people diagnosed with diabetes and their support systems, their family members. And these are both home-based and classroom health education classes. We also started some classes to target at-risk populations. Particularly, a lot of what we were doing, we really, in these communities, try to focus on the woman of the household, saying if we can get to the woman of the household, we can really impact her family because she's the one making a lot of the direct caregiving decisions for the family. And one of the groups that we decided to focus on were actually men. We would hold these activities and we were getting, 96% of the turnout would be female, and, we'd be lucky if there was a guy sitting in the room. And so we decided to really look at at-risk populations, focusing on men, trying to get the men in a kind of a safe environment without all these other women around or whoever, where they could just sit and we could have some real discussions with them about their health and about diabetes and their choices that they were making. And we also had focused on children as well and balancing food and play activities. Another component is doing a lot of work around nutrition, and we've done some really, I think, pretty cool things with our nutrition programs. First, we have a program called What's for Dinner, and this is in one of our counties where they work with the local food bank. And what they did is, through our community health workers, we have a pretty good idea, and through some of the questionnaires that we were conducting, we had a pretty good idea of what people were eating and what they were serving their families for dinner. So the idea of taking what they normally serve, finding healthier ways to make it healthier, and then bringing them in, we had an 8-week course where we'd bring them into a demonstration kitchen, show them how to make their kind of tried and true recipes, how to make those healthier, and then sending them home with all the food that they need to feed their families this recipe. And that was actually really wildly successful. We have waiting lists to go in and do that. Another nutrition program that we were doing is working with some of the local homeless shelters, making sure that the homeless shelters provide breakfast, working to make sure that they were receiving a healthy breakfast and following up their breakfast with some type of activity. So for example, every Friday is Tai Chi Day, and we get them out there and doing some Tai Chi work. And we also had a strong component of farmers markets, starting farmers markets in our communities where there were not previously farmers markets, and also a lot more, our communities are a lot greener now through community garden projects. Another element, finally, is also our physical activity, everything from walking programs to salsa classes to Biggest Loser competitions. We have one program where fitness and fun, where we encourage everybody to get up, and the goal is to walk a mile in 20 minutes and to do this 3 times a week. I'm actually just gearing up again for my community is a new Biggest Loser competition, and these have been really extraordinarily successful in our communities as well. So just in the 2-year period covered by our ETCO activities, we had taught over 804 diabetes self-management education classes, a little over 1,800 fitness classes, 835 nutrition classes, and we also had our some support groups as well, 638 support groups. So we had a lot of our community health workers were really working overtime. And also between the 4 sites, we enacted 47 environmental and policy changes. And one of the things I have to say, what I think is a key success to this program, is that we had our 4 counties and we were really in close communication. And we were able to, you know, one county would kind of brainstorm all together and we'd think like, I think we really need to like deal with what's going on in the homeless shelter because, you know, they're eating, you know, Fritos and Fruit Loops for breakfast. And, you know, one county could kind of go in, make the contact, do the trial run, get the program up and working, and then we'd come together every couple of months and we'd be like, well, this is what's working in my community, and we'd learn how to export it from one community to another. So it worked actually really, really well for us. And some of the changes that we were working with that were nutrition related, we were doing the nutrition and weight management classes and counseling. We worked with local restaurants to offer healthy food and beverage choices and to make sure that these choices were indicated on their menus. We had media campaigns on healthy lifestyle behaviors related to physical activity and nutrition, obesity and weight and diabetes. And this was through local TV channels and radio and the newspapers and newsletters. We increased access and availability to healthy food products through community gardens and farmers markets. And we also strongly encouraged within our own group, which was almost a struggle at first, but other groups too, as we met with people throughout the our communities to make sure that if we're having a meeting, we're not giving them cookies and soda, but we have apples and bananas and water. Some of our physical activity-related changes were including making sure that each county had a designated facility where we could offer different types of classes, like salsa dance classes, for example. Making sure that we had a plan in place to work with our community and our urban planners to look at to making our communities more pedestrian and bicycle friendly. Some of this included, for example, putting in, you know, paved walking areas in some of the local town parks and putting lighting up at night so that it would be safe at night. The neighborhood, particularly in one of the colonias that we worked in, there was a playground that had really fallen into use. It was mostly used as a site for drug dealing. And the community really came together. We fenced it in to keep the dogs out. We put lights up there. And the community really actually kind of self-policed and got all the activity out of the area. So it was actually a place where families could come together again and exercise and spend quality time. We are also working with some of our more, with our larger employers in our different counties, making sure that they have some employee wellness plans in place. One of the things that we've been able to do in different ways is try to look at some outcomes data. And we did this in three different populations. The first one I'm going to show you is a program that we had. This is 74 diabetics that were in our self-management program at one of our counties. You can see the about 60% were females. And you can see here, if you look at the BMI, that we're talking at about a population here that's very overweight and obese. And looking at our diabetic participants in this program, ones that we had at least a three-month follow-up and some that we also had a six-month follow-up on, you can see what their baseline A1C was when they came in, and look at their three-month average and then their six-month average, and we see that we were impacting their A1C levels and decreasing them. And again, the A1C level that we're looking at that we want to get them below is below 7.0, so we're not quite there yet, but we're moving in the right direction. And this is still, we're collecting data still and crunching data, so we don't have big numbers on this, but we're hopeful with what we do have here. Another community group that we're looking at, we have a community cohort in one of our sites. This is 2,000 diabetics, people at risk for diabetes, and also non-diabetic participants in a community cohort. And again, you can see this is a majority female in this cohort. And again, you know, really leaning heavily towards the overweight and obese BMI range, with about 80% of the population in those age ranges. And you can see the huge range on the A1Cs, because again, we have diabetics and non-diabetics in this cohort. And what we found, what we did in this cohort, is that we had community health workers reach out to part of our cohort to work with them, educate them, and say, you know, hey, come, here's this walking group I'm doing, come join our walking group. Here down the street, we have free activity classes, come and join our free activity classes. And we, of course, you know, did a lot of surveying of our groups. And we found that controlling for age, gender, BMI, and diabetic status, that participants in our cohort who reported interacting with a community health worker were 4.2 times more likely to meet physical activity guidelines, 3.7 times more likely to eat fruit for dessert, and 2.3 times more likely to eat whole wheat products. And another group that we're looking at to try to look at some of our outcome measures is a clinic cohort. So this is a group of patients that are being seen in a clinic. They come into the clinic, and as part of coming into the clinic, they are teamed with a community health worker. And again, no surprise here, we see a lot of overweight and obese in this group as well. And also, you know, 62% of the, this is a diabetic population here of these 71 people, 62% have an A1C that is considered to be out of control or too high. And what we did, so not only did we have community health workers working with these people, you know, calling up, going to their homes. It was really actually, I mean, it was like my favorite part is to go out with the community health workers because, you know, they walk right into the home, they go into the kitchen, they open up the refrigerator, they say, hey, what do you have in here? How are you cooking this? Going through the cupboard, you know, they're just this amazing, amazing group of men and women. And they were also strongly encouraged to participate in our different education courses, classes, our exercise classes, our nutrition classes, and our counseling groups. And at the time we started doing this follow-up, we were just putting in the counseling groups and some motivational interviewing, so we have really very low participation there. And what we find again is that, you know, follow-up all the way out here to 15 months, we're seeing our decreases in our A1C, getting to the point where we're seeing our A1C below 7.0. What I do want to say is that this is a clinically managed cohort. So where our community cohort and the self-management cohort were not being clinically managed, this cohort is. So they are on medications. So we're seeing that A1C decrease because they are taking medications. But they're maintaining that decrease over time and sticking with the program. So that's something that we're going to be looking into more thoroughly. And if we look at our participants in this clinic cohort who participated in our exercise classes versus those who did not participate in our exercise classes, we see that we're, you know, people that are participating in our program are doing better. They're having the lower A1C. those that are participating in our nutrition classes are doing better with an A1C less than 7 or 7 or less, and the same with our education classes. So again, small numbers, we're just kind of getting in here and doing this, but it's nonetheless some data that we can look at and that we are hopeful about. Also, another really big focus through all our programs is weight management, and looking here at just some of the weight changes in our clinic cohort, those who lost 5 or more pounds, about 31%, so this is a really great feat, not only losing the weight, but maintaining that weight loss, remaining on the same weight, and those, of course, who gained 5 or more pounds. Finally, an economic evaluation was done of the community health worker program, and the total aggregate annual cost savings of ETCO for the cohort, this is the cohort, the community cohort, including 765 people in the cohort, was $127,000 approximately. Total aggregate lifetime cost savings was approximately $1 million. So the incremental cost effectiveness ratio of the CHW intervention ranged between about $11,000 to $33,000 per quality adjusted life year compared to usual care. And the community health worker outreach program was cost effective based on any accepted threshold that you use to judge these types of studies. And this just actually got published within the last month or so. So it's out in the literature now. And here's just some pictures looking at our farmers markets and working on community gardens and our one of our groups of our community health workers and looking at screenings and so on and so forth. I believe that's all. Are there any questions? Great. Thank you very much.